The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back. It's hour three at 7:05. I'm Randy Corporan. Hanging in. I think we can make it through another hour with this voice. And sorry for how funny it sounds. But do appreciate the calls. 303-696-1971 is the number. 303-696-1971. When you're talking, I don't have to. And that is very useful on a particular day like this one for me. Don't forget about the Western Conservative Summit coming up just a couple of weekends away now with Eric Metaxas, Jenna Ellis, Frank Gaffney, Tulsi Gabbard, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. I've met him. I ought to be able to say his last name. Of course, our very own Lauren Boebert. I have the pleasure of introducing Ken Buck, who is leading a panel on Saturday morning, I think. I haven't gotten a schedule yet, but anyway, it's always a great time at the Western Conservative Summit. It's back downtown, and we need conservatives to turn out, support all of the great sponsors that will show up there. Jeff Hunt for his incredible hard work. And, of course, News Talk 710 KNUS is the official station of the 2023 Western Conservative Summit. And so you can easily go and grab your tickets online at 710KNUS.com. We heard the top of the hour news from CBS, really actually a somewhat useful news report, where Kevin McCarthy has announced that he and the president have reached a deal, an agreement in principle to, as the Washington Compost reports, raise the debt ceiling to avoid a catastrophic government shutdown. Nonsense. Man, talk about nonsense or incensed. Earlier in my talk radio career during these government shutdown battles, and all of the old guard establishment Republicans would tell us that we can't face down Barack Obama, we can't stand up on this debt ceiling because Republicans always get blamed for shutdowns. Ronald Reagan let the government shut down several times during his presidency. He always emerged victorious because Americans appreciate fiscal sanity. They realize every one of you and me and others know that we can't live beyond our means for long or we go bankrupt. And the only reason that the United States has been able to do what it does for so long is because we print our own currency, we sell our bonds and assets to foreign nations, and we've just been living the high life, credit card superchargers. But we're at the point now, and you know, been saying that for 10 years, but God, when we jumped from billions into the trillions, and now the trillions just ratchet up, there's not even a concept of what that means anymore, not even a concept of what those dollars mean. So I hope and I pray that Kevin McCarthy held strong and got something significant in return. Not just, you know, no funding for 87,000 IRS agents. Something significant on the border. Something significant on future spending cuts. But you know what? That never means anything. It could mean something now because we're growing a stronger spine in the House of Representatives. We have a tremendous opportunity to put America First senators in the majority in the U.S. Senate, and a tremendous opportunity based on the failures of the last 2 years with this administration on the border, on fentanyl, on crime, on money, on the Ukraine, on and on and on, of putting an America First president back into the White House as well. And so we might actually keep those spending reduction promises. if we can make all that happen. But typically what happens is we get this 10-year deal, and over the next 10 years, we're going to ratchet down. We're going to close the gap between our spending and our debt limit, and it's going to get better and better. And it never, ever does. The next Congress comes in and says, nope, we're done with that. Can't do it. Here's the latest new toy we want to buy. Here's the latest emergency that we need to take on. And so it never, ever happens. So the devil will be in the details. And this could be a make or break point in Kevin McCarthy's young tenure as the Speaker of the House. We shall see. If we get any of those details, probably won't before the end of the show. You can darn well bet we'll be talking about them next week, though. Really can't wait to see. All right, I want to play the Ron DeSantis audio for you, and kind of a response to my conversation with Jim a few minutes ago. But before we do that, let's get back to the phones, because we never know how long Jack can stand by. He's always traveling. He's always in and out of a signal. Sometimes he's here in Colorado. Oftentimes he's up in Wyoming, but you just never know with our good buddy Jack. Jack, welcome back. I hope you're having a significant and reflective Memorial Day.
I am. Hey, listen, I heard you talking to one of your callers about the first president he voted for, and then you had offered that the first one you voted for was Reagan. And I know I always turn the conversation, but I'll bet you can't guess who the first president I voted for. And
well, let's see. Let me think about your age. Let me think. Would it have been John F. Kennedy?
No, I never Democrat.
Never ever voted for a Democrat, because he was kind of the way Democrats could vote for Reagan. He was kind of a Democrat that I imagine many Republicans felt comfortable voting for back in the day. So who was number one for you, brother?
Well, water. It should have been obvious.
Now, see, I didn't want to go back that far. I didn't think you were that freaking
I'm 80.
Old. Okay. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was in 70. That was in 64. So I was 21.
Well, if I'd have gone back far enough, that would have been my next pick for sure. You see, I stopped in the 60s, or in
okay.
the. At least I was in the right decade. But good choice. Good choice.
I'm glad to hear the medical one. Good. Keep us posted. All right.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I got to hang out with Barry Goldwater's son, and he's an interesting character. Looks so much like his dad. So much like
oh, really?
His dad, yeah. And yeah. Still a strong proponent of those incredible, not malleable conservative values, which is refreshing from time to time in the day and age that we live in now.
Yeah.
All right, Jack.
Well, there's some good hardcore people out there.
No doubt about
okay,
it.
Okay, Brad. Have a good week.
We need more of us.
Okay, bye.
I will. You do the same. All right. So I was really surprised when I saw – I didn't put this clip together. We just found it, and Blake put it together so we could play it here for you. But Ron DeSantis has been touting his response to the COVID-19 lockdowns, the vax mandates, and all of it. And, of course, Kristi Noem, who is – just an amazing governor in North Dakota. And she is, I've been around her multiple times, taken some pictures with her, haven't had real conversation of any length with her, but she is just incredibly charismatic and seems like, did I say North Dakota? South Dakota, of course. Right where Mount Rushmore is, where my wife's dearest, oldest friend is headed as we speak on this weekend, knocking it out of her bucket list. Pretty cool. But governor of South Dakota, and she has just been unmovable on certain areas where government intersects with the ability of people to make their own decisions. And, you know, like any other, she's not perfect. She would certainly look good on a presidential ticket because she's charismatic, she's very attractive, she presents well, she speaks well. And here is a contrast between Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem when it comes to these lockdowns.
Governor Ron DeSantis reversed course on Wednesday, announcing a statewide order to stay at home. I'm going to be doing an executive order today directing all Floridians to limit movements and personal interactions outside the home.
As far as me taking action to put a shelter in place there in Minnehaha and Lincoln counties, I will not be doing that today.
If people see a pub or restaurant and it's packed to the rafters, that's just cut and dry, and that's not just an innocent mistake. And so I told him, no tolerance for that. Just suspend the license.
What I did, though, was tell my people the truth. I gave them personal responsibility over decisions for their family's public health, but also gave them the flexibility they needed to keep their businesses open, take care of their employees and their customers.
The message, I think, for spring breakers is that the party's over in Florida. You're not going to be able to congregate on any beach in the state.
We're talking about the Sturgis Bike Rally, and that has been labeled for almost a year as a super spreader event, which was an absolute lie. We are excited about hosting the rally, though, because it's a great opportunity for us to invite people to the state.
Lord, and I remember the outcry against Kristi Noem in South Dakota and Sturgis for having the biker rally. Super spreader event. No uptick in deaths or COVID transmission, nothing. It's just the media hype. But did you listen to that clip? Did Ron DeSantis, how Polis-like did Ron DeSantis talk about just grab their license? People will not be on the beaches in Florida. Shocking to me. Because remember, Donald Trump, while they did shut down the country, it was supposed to be 15 days to slow it. Did anybody have any problem with 15 days to slow the spread? I certainly did not. That is an actual emergency, this unknown killer virus we were told that in and of itself was a super spreader and deadly and no known treatments yet and all those things that proved to be such a lie. And listen, I'm not minimizing the ravaging of our nation and our world that the Chinese unleashed with the CCP virus. But the way it was milked, the way it was utilized to control people and just see how docile and willing people would be to be shut down, locked down, it should have been an eye-opener for every single citizen of this country. And they're planning for the next one. They're making treaties so the World Health Organization can have the initial say and the final say on how we react to the next great pandemic or whatever. But to hear DeSantis doing that, Donald Trump, he went along with the 15 days to close down, but he never made federal mandates the way Biden immediately did when he got in. He left it to the states to make decisions. He never mandated the vaccine. He used his business skills to create, to allow industry and the pharmaceutical companies to create these vaccines. None of us knew that they would be so harmful and so ineffective and so enriching. I certainly couldn't expect that he would have foreseen that. So I don't blame him for it. What I called Trump out for, not to his face, my conversations with him have been too short, not a time to debate policy, but what I would call him out for on this radio show early on in this run-up to this primary and presidential election was when he was still touting the efficacy, how great the vaccines were. He learned that lesson because his supporters showed up and booed him to his face when he did that. But I never heard President Donald J. Trump talking like Ron DeSantis does in part two of this clip. Of these clips.
Every single beach will have to abide by the CDC guidelines. No more than 10 people. You have to be socially distant.
I think we've all recognized that recently with the CDC that they changed their opinions and their guidance based on political pressure at different times.
So my message is the vaccines protect you. Get vaccinated and then live your life as if you're protected.
We believe that COVID vaccination should be a choice. and we don't believe that people should be divided into two different classes, those that are vaccinated and those that are not vaccinated.
The bars are closed, so you're not going to have a place to congregate there. So we would just tell those folks, you know, maybe come back next year when things are better. But that is not what we're looking for here in the state of Florida.
We did not shut down our economy, our businesses, our churches, and we did not tell people who was essential and who was not. This is not the business of government.
Man, oh man. If you had to vote for Ron DeSantis versus Kristi Noem based on those 2 minutes worth of audio side by side, who would it be? And think back on the way that Donald Trump approached these shutdowns, brought all the experts together and gave press conferences and stood there for hours answering questions and didn't run away from anybody, but did not issue federal edicts to airports and airplane riders and governors and states. But listen to DeSantis, man, does he sound? I said Polis-like. And listen, I've spent time with Ron DeSantis. I've talked to him, not in any great length. Very pleasant to talk to. Very, very smart. Says all of the right things. We haven't even talked about the Twitter rollout yet. Maybe we'll do that on the other side of this break. Love everything that he says and so much that he's done. But man, in that moment of the COVID emergencies, that, I guess you could say it was leadership. It sounds more like dictatorship, at least for a while there, even in the state of Florida. And now DeSantis is trying to use his approach to COVID in contrast to Trump's. And I'll be very interested to see how that plays out, because that audio was rough. So we do have to take a break. Our phone number here is 303-696-1971. We may replay that audio, or at least a little bit of it. I want to talk a little bit about the DeSantis rollout on Twitter. Did you see it? Did you hear it? Have you read about it? What do you think? And we're monitoring Fox News because they're the only ones covering this debt ceiling limit agreement that has apparently been reached in principle. And if they get anybody on, you know, Kevin McCarthy or anybody else, we'll cut into that just to see what they have to say. It is big news. We just don't have any details for you yet. We'll see what we can find out, and we'll be back in just a minute here on 710 KNUS. Well, if I'd written that song, it would have been 1979. 69. I was 10, so yeah, hair wasn't too long yet. But welcome back. I hope you've got some nice plans for family, for yourself, a day off work. Nothing wrong with the celebrating those opportunities and taking advantage of them. Just keep in mind the reason for the season, I guess, is an easy way to say it. And we talked a lot about that in the first hour. Really enjoyed the call from the historian, the teacher, the author, Rob Rice, went to his website, and man, oh man, first of all, love, if that's you, Rob, and you're still listening, love the get up, Rob's rather old fashioned, it says, if you click over that picture. You got to go to robricebooks.com and just check it out. And the books look great. Acts of Heroes. You're invited to meet a scholar turned traveler, pilgrim, soldier, and voyager in a long vanished world where philosophers train, generals, kings, empires rise and shatter, and technology teeters on the very brink of the Industrial Revolution. Man, I have found me a new author for the summer. Acts of Heroes, World War II recedes ever faster now from recollection, but it is the intention of the Esterhazy Press to refresh those fading colors with a series of new adventures into the labyrinth of military memories. And then at some books that are just flat over my head. And we'll get out of this here in just a second. But these titles are just so fascinating. The Anti-Kythera Mechanism, Recovery and Significance. Now, this one I could probably handle. The Sailing Ship in U.S. Service. This one sounds really good. Not as slaves. Not as slaves, but friends and allies, Rome's settlement of Lycia and Caria after the year 188. And then this one, forget it. I I can barely pronounce the title. The I did it well before. The Peregrinations of the Queen: Technology Transfer in the Hellenistic World. So, yep, flat over my head. All right, before we get back to politics, let's talk about your priorities, because most of us, we got to put our job first, right? You got to make a living. Other people put their kids and grandkids first, and I've said before, that's really where I'm at now. I told you about the emergency last night and the rush to the hospital because we thought grandchild number four was on the way. Nothing is more important than family. And boy, if you don't know it now, as you get older, you will learn it. Everybody's got something that's important. People rarely put themselves ahead of the game. And it starts with your health because, you know, even tonight with this summer cold that I'm dealing with, it just puts a limit on you. And if you're not healthy, you're more susceptible to this stuff. It's backwards if you're not taking care of yourself. You want to spend quality time at work with your kids, with your grandkids, or whatever it is you want to do. So Cenogenics is the place to go if you need to get a handle on your health. They'll work with you to optimize all aspects of your health, give you the strength, energy, and vitality that you need to achieve your goals and dreams. I know it because I've worked the program. Live your best life with Cenogenics. Call Cenogenics at 720-302-2992, 720-302-2992, or visit them. It's easy, denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com. Love the text-to-studio app, just this live interaction from listeners to the show. And, of course, I love our law enforcement listeners, retired and otherwise. Thank you, Steve. Same to you. God bless you, sir. Really, really do appreciate it. I got pulled over once. I'm trying to remember why. I was in my wife's car. Oh, I think it's because the tags had expired. And it was way after COVID, you know, for a year and a half or more. It didn't matter because you couldn't get into motor vehicle. You couldn't get an appointment. And I literally had gone to motor vehicle and there was something wrong with something. Or you know what? Actually, I had the new tags in the car with me, but I hadn't stopped to put them on. I got pulled over. And the cop who pulled me over looked at the name, and he was a listener to the show. And I've had text messages to my phone, calls from and communications with active law enforcement who will, you know, listen while they're just cruising, if they're not on a call or something like that. And it means so much to know that the people who are keeping us safe are taking a moment to check in with us here at 710 KNUS. And another reason I'm so glad that Ford announced they're keeping AM radios in their cars at least through 2024. Very, very cool. We played this audio, and if you're just joining the show, I'll just play a couple of snippets from it. DeSantis contrasting with Kristi Noem on COVID lockdowns.
Governor Ron DeSantis reversed course on Wednesday, announcing a statewide order to stay at home.
I'm going to be doing an executive order today directing all Floridians to limit movements and personal interactions outside the home.
As far as me taking action to put a shelter in place there in Minnehaha and Lincoln counties, I will not be doing that today.
If people see a pub or restaurant and it's packed to the rafters, that's just cut and dry, and that's not just an innocent mistake. And so I told him, no tolerance for that. Just suspend the license.
What I did, though, was...
Man, oh man, I don't know. How about this one?
Every single beach will have to abide by the CDC guidelines. No more than 10 people. You have to be socially distant.
I think we've all recognized that recently with the CDC that they changed their opinions and their guidance based on political pressure at different times.
So my message is the vaccines protect you. Get vaccinated and then live your life as if you're protected.
We believe that.
So I just wonder, you know, we had this conversation with Jim in hour two, and he was just talking about how Trump got played by Fauci and Birx and the vax manufacturers and all that. But man, it sounds like DeSantis did too. Who do you rely on except the so-called top experts? We just never knew these people were so duplicitous, so untrustworthy. Fran in Greenwood Village writes in, Randy, you have to cite the dates of Ron DeSantis' comments. Well, I didn't get the dates, Fran, so I'm not sure when those statements were made. We can sort of kind of assume it was during the revved up period of COVID lockdowns. She says DeSantis was the whipping boy of the far left media. Well, yeah. And what Republican? I mean, Mitt Romney was the whipping boy of the far left media when he was the presidential campaign candidate. John McCain became the whipping boy after the media said, oh, this would be the right Republican to run to have a great presidential campaign with Barack Obama and this moderate, sane John McCain. And as soon as he became the nominee, the media unleashed on him. Of course, no one in history has been attacked the way Donald Trump was. But Fran goes on. She says, dude, talking about DeSantis, did a great job. And I listen, as far as Florida goes, I love being in Florida. I don't know that I'd move there, weather and the hurricanes and the alligators and the bugs. I ride motorcycles a lot, and, man, I have ridden down there. It beats you. Those suckers will knock you off your bike. But Fran says Trump got worked by the Fauci, Big Pharma. But, man, it sounds like everybody did. I never bought into the vaccines. Immediately I started. When they started shutting down people just talking about alternatives to remdesivir, alternatives to being put on a ventilator, things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which I have used. Is that what it is? It's another drug now that I'm intimately familiar with that sounds very similar. But anyway, yeah, hydroxychloroquine. And then I noticed that it was working for people. I was getting reports of how it was helping people and getting them out of hospitals and all of those things. And they would not let you talk about it. Then I just knew we instinctively knew in our family, none of our kids, none of our grandkids, none of our adults got vaccinated. And I'm so grateful because we're continuing to see the damage that's being done. But, you know, I'm not trying to ding DeSantis. My question is, how does he contrast his performance in COVID with Trump's, given some of those very powerful dictatorial? And again, you know, sometimes in an emergency, you need leaders. I get it. And he exudes leadership. No question about it. I don't dislike Ron DeSantis, but I don't know how that's a distinguishing point for him. I did watch the entire DeSantis rollout on Twitter. And watching, you couldn't see anything. It was audio only. I don't know who's advising his campaign. And I'm sure I could find out. I'm the Republican National Committee man. I could make a phone call. But I haven't. But why would you roll out on a platform that many Republicans aren't even on? Certainly, you know, at my Tea Party group, I'll often encourage folks to get involved with social media, have a show of hands. Did you see this on Twitter? No. And no interest whatsoever. And then the young folks, you know, they're TikTok, Instagram. I don't know what there's others out there. I don't know what they are. But Twitter is just not the place you go for major political impact, I don't think, for a rollout of a presidential campaign with no video. There was no video to show from this thing. And if you didn't see it, if you haven't read about it, it was really a mess. For the first 20 minutes, you've got Elon Musk popping on and talking about, you know, we've got so many people here and we're going to get this fired up, and then other people talking, and then it just goes dead, and then it goes back to standing by. It was kind of bizarre, but I didn't have anywhere to be, hospital stuff going on, and I was able to just, you know, sort of watch and see how the thing played out. But when they got done with it, the excuse was made that we just had so many people on here that our servers couldn't handle it. Well, that's just hard to believe, because I remember Elon Musk doing a BBC interview that had 3.3 million viewers on, I believe it was Twitter Space. I don't know where else it would have been. There's other, in fact, I saw some pictures that were put together of other events that have occurred on Twitter Space with much larger numbers than the DeSantis live stream. DeSantis live stream got up about as high as 300,000. But something called, or not something, but at a zoo, April the giraffe giving birth got 1.2 million views on Twitter, on a Twitter space. AOC played a video game on Twitch, 430,000 views. BuzzFeed makes watermelon explode, 807,000 views. So I wondered if some of the left-wingers that we know are still, I mean, Elon Musk has cleared a lot of people out of Twitter, but we know that it was just a vast majority of left-wingers in there, and I wondered if they sabotaged it. Because it was bizarre. They finally had to leave Elon Musk's Twitter space and go to the other co-host's Twitter space, and I don't remember his name. So I'm waiting for this really great, you know, kind of rollout and this dramatic, the reasons I'm the right guy and that I'm running for president. And it, listen, it was a good, it was like an op-ed. It was like, well, clearly he was reading a speech. And so it said all the right things. It's like, you know, going to a seminar on constitutionally limited government or something, and somebody's got their remarks all prepared. And so they say things that are very interesting, and I liked them all, and I admire and appreciate DeSantis's success in Florida and all of that. But I just did not see it as a successful rollout of his campaign. And I guess, you know, maybe it was a groundbreaking effort to try and do something new. I'll tell you, the Trump campaign over on Truth Social just had a riot with it. They just, they were ready to go with videos that were funny and statements and all kinds of stuff, especially when it didn't kick off like it was supposed to. And even creepy, sleepy showers with daughter Joe Biden. He tweeted out as the Twitter, the DeSantis rollout was delayed on Twitter. Joe Biden tweeted out a link to his donation site and said, here's a link that works. So everybody was mocking it. And listen, you know, it's so early. I don't know that that matters very much, but you just have to wonder whose idea it was, why they didn't make sure that the technology was good to go before it launched. And why you would roll out a presidential campaign without any video. No videos, little snippets to retweet, to put up on Facebook, to send out by email, to do all the things that you do, those powerful moments in front of a big crowd. Can DeSantis draw a big crowd? Have we seen him in front of any big crowds? I've seen him deliver tremendous remarks against Disney and wokeness and the damage that the left is trying to do to our children in the schools and how Florida won't stand for it in press conferences. But is he a draw? Does he create that energy? And I'm really waiting to see. I mean, these are the two heavyweights, right? We're going to let them slug it out, and we're going to see. I wish, Fran, if you know when those DeSantis comments were, you could tell me. That would be useful, but I mean, we can all kind of put those in the time frame. Anyway, so one more quick story I want to tell you, and then we'll take our final break of the night. And this is kind of interesting as well. If I can find it again, did I lose it? Oh, Randy, here it is. This was a story that was published Friday in the Tampa Bay, Florida Times. The FBI raided the home of two Democrat lawmakers. Their names are Lynn Hurtock, a member of the Tampa City Council, and her husband, a media consultant named Tim Burke. And they raided the home apparently because they believe that these two people, these two Democrat activists slash lawmakers slash media consultants, were behind the hacking of the computers that led to all of these leaks about Tucker Carlson from Fox News. You remember all the stuff that came out in Media Matters and tried to damage Carlson. None of it really hurt him that I could tell. It all made him look pretty good to me, including off-air remarks he had made that were disparaging about this or that, and they were leaked and published. And so people have blamed Fox News. It was your fault that these got out. Apparently, the FBI thinks that there was some computer hacking that went on, and they raided these homes. A federal prosecutor in Tampa wrote to Fox News and highlighted an investigation into, quote, intrusions and intercepted communications at the Fox News network. And apparently they're tying it to these two Democrats. So, man, oh, man, such dirty business. Who can stand up to it all? I guess we shall see. It's the months are flying. It's going to be June before we know it. And we're at the final segment of Wake Up with Randy Corporan. So if you stay right there, we're going to wrap up the show. Got a couple of other audio clips I want to share with you, including some really powerful statements from Glenn Beck on this so-called Nazi driver who tried to drive his truck into the White House, basically, into a barricade out there. We'll get into all that, wrap up the show. I will survive. We will return to 710 KNUS. Said it before, love this song. Used to play it a lot on my trombone. I could not play a trombone tonight with this nose and these lungs to save my life. Usually at the end of the show, I am just so revved up. I am ready to wind it down, and I have appreciated you spending your evening with us and with me here on Wake Up with Randy Corporan as we launch into the Memorial Day weekend. I'll just say this for the last time. How important it is that we remember the reason for the season, the reason for this weekend, and share that. Remind others while we're having fun, while we enjoy what looks to be two beautiful days, Sunday and Monday, and hopefully some time away from work, some time with family, some time out doing whatever it is you love to do. But do take that moment to pause and give thanks, or go visit the Danny Dietz Memorial in Littleton, or if you have loved ones out at the VA or out at the Fort Logan or one of the other amazing cemeteries, just remember it's so very important. And I know you know this, but I think you cannot say stuff like that enough. Text messages continue to pour in, even though calls have dried up. Let's see, still praying for you and yours, Randy. Question, and thank you, by the way. Seems like we're doing okay. The recovery from these brain surgeries is not pleasant, but it's doable. And my wife is tough as nails, and we are in it together. And by the way, I used to tell stories about my neighborhood, Shenango. I was president of the board. We sort of figured out who the liberals were in the neighborhood when I held the – we have a massive car show, 200-plus cars every year on a field in our neighborhood. And I held it during the COVID shutdowns, and the lefties came out of the woodwork. You know, well, did you check with Arapahoe County? Are you going to follow the protocols? Are we going to be socially distancing? Will there be signs? And I was like, no, we won't be doing any of that. But you don't need to come if you don't want to. And it was a massive turnout, super spreader event, I was told I was causing by some of my own neighbors. And, you know, by then I had really seen through the nonsense about COVID-19 and what it could and wouldn't do to people, and how being out in fresh air and sunshine was one of the best things to do. And so, and because there were a lot of places that didn't hold car shows, just everything was still shut down. It was a massive turnout because people were so hungry to come out and be together. Let's look at the cars, just do something normal, you know. And my last night as president, I was term limited out and accomplished what I went in there to do, and was really grateful for all the help I had in getting something that was very important to the neighborhood done. But there was a little wannabe rent-a-cop city worker at the building where we held our annual meeting who was enforcing the mask rule. And I wouldn't budge. And the dude literally called the cops on me. And So I was escorted out, and you know, once they tell you to leave, if you don't want us not leave because you're trespassing, then there's a criminal charge. And so I was literally on my last night as president, wrapping up a very successful bunch of accomplishments that we and all of the people that worked hard with our board got done. I was escorted out of the meeting by the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department, and the rent-a-cop, the wannabe, claimed that he had told me to leave the building and that I had refused. And I'm a lawyer. I know how to stay out of trouble even when I'm pushing the envelope. And I was willing to get in trouble, but there was no need under those circumstances. And when we got outside, the cops were like, "I'm sorry, you know, we got to do this crap." And we wound up getting into conversations about how good cops that they knew were moving to Florida, were leaving the profession. One of the cops was married to another cop in a different jurisdiction, and they were packing it, man. They were leaving the state of Colorado. But that's kind of a rabbit hole. The reason I brought up the neighborhood is because since my wife's surgery, we were contacted by a neighbor, and there's a thing they do called Chenango Cares, and they've been bringing us meals. They've been bringing us meals, you know, hot meals or things you can just pop into the oven. And checking in on us. And, you know, I am not good at taking help. I'm just not good at it. I'll do everything on my own. Always have been that way. But my wife encouraged me to just let it happen. And it's been so wonderful. So wonderful. Neighbors coming over and praying and visiting and almost too much because she's just not up to much of anything just yet. But it's just so cool to know that community still exists. So I don't know if any neighbors listen to the show on Saturday nights or not, but thank you all who've been supportive. And I'll bet even some of the left-wingers participate in the Chenango Cares stuff. And my wife is committed. She loves making home-cooked meals and delivering them, and so she wants to be a part of that moving forward. And I'm assuming she's going to recover fully and that will be no problem at all. But thank you. Thank you so much for all of that and for all the support here from the listeners. And Alexa says, "You've always been a troublemaker." Well, that's true. I used to get in trouble just for the way I would look at teachers in school. They'd say, "Wipe that look off your face." I'd say, "It's my face. What do you want me to do with it?" But that's probably part of the reason for my attitude. So we are not going to have time for the Glenn Beck audio. Let's see. I think we've got time for this. This is pretty cool. This is Carrie Lake making a major, major announcement.
The judges in our cases have basically said, you know, election laws are suggestions. They're not fast and firm. You can do it. You can kind of look at them as a recommendation. Well, if that's the way we're going to run elections, then we need to play in that arena. And we are launching the start of the biggest ballot chasing initiative in Arizona. We found out, Steve, that 500,000 Arizonans received ballots in the mail, but did not return them. They're called low propensity voters. They had the ballot there. It ended up in the garbage can. Maybe it ended up just sitting on the kitchen counter and they never returned it. We are going to make an effort to reach out to those voters and we're going to reach out. We're going to become best friends with them. And we're going to make sure when they get that ballot, we're going to encourage them through many different methods to fill that out and get it sent in. We don't want to leave 500,000 votes out there sitting on someone's kitchen countertop. And these are going to be the Republican voters who didn't turn in their ballot and the right-leaning independents.
And believe you me, we're working on that in Colorado as well.
And we're also going to be telling them what we're all about, which is common sense solution, America First policies that will truly help all Arizonans live a better life with more freedom, with their liberties intact, and a more prosperous life as well. So I think it's a real no-brainer. The left is working with Soros and all these groups and NGOs and made-up groups to not just push the envelope, but do things that are actually illegal. We're not going to do anything illegal, but we're going to push the envelope and get very busy on the ground, making sure we're gathering up and getting people to return their ballots. And we're going to register people to vote. No excuse to not be registered to vote. If you are a Republican, if you are an Arizonan who cares about your state, who's sick of the wide open borders, who's tired of inflation stealing money basically out of your paycheck, who's tired of watching what's happening to your children being indoctrinated, whether through culture or through their schools, then we want your vote. We want to earn your vote, and we want to get you registered to vote.
Indeed. It's no longer about the voter. It's about the ballots. The Democrats have mastered generating and grabbing and submitting ballots. And I've spent some time with Carrie Lake. I don't know what she was like when she was a TV news anchor, but she is the real deal. She is relentless. She never backs up. She never backs down. That is so very cool. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for hanging with me. Sorry I ran out of steam here, but God bless you. God loves you. So do I. Make it a very, very special and significant Memorial Day for you and somebody else. And as always, never, ever forget this.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.